All right, we're going to kind of follow suit. We got one more talk after me, but I think the idea of the first three talks was just to give the audience kind of an idea of what's happening across the belt before we get into some of the meat of it. But one thing, Larry, that struck me in your talk, for one, there's a lot to learn from California as far as mites go if you're in the Mid-South, because y'all have dealt with them for a really long time. But the one thing that struck me was your product rates. If I tried to recommend 10 ounces of Zephyr right now in the Mid-South, I'd get run off the farm, price-wise. But you never know, it may be the thing to do. I mean, that's a $30, $35 shot, and we're looking at 4 ounces in the Mid-South. But we're beginning to get that appreciation in the Mid-South that you are for, that you've already got in California. So I'm going to kind of build the status, what we're seeing in the Mid-South region at this point. Now, a couple years ago at a crop management seminar, the Cotton Incorporated crop management seminar that we had, I put a statement up there, and basically what I put at this time, this was in 2005, I put that spider mites are the insecticide budget busters of cotton production in the Mid-South. And what I meant by that was our growers at that time were certainly not budgeting for these high dollar sprays that they were having to make. And at the time, we thought it was kind of cyclic, but it tends to be a trend that's staying now. Well, that's still true today. We made that comment back in 05. That is definitely still true today. They are the budget busters for us. And in fact, in our Mississippi State cotton budgets, we have just recently, a couple years ago, included a big incidental budget for spider mites. All right, just to give you an idea of this, the status, I'm going to go over this one real quickly. These are pulled straight from the cotton losses that each of the cotton growing states pulled together. This is acres treated, but that don't really say a lot, because in Mississippi we've lost 46% of our acres from 06 to 07 and another 46% the next year. So we're down 70% from 1.2 million to 360,000. Acres of cotton. But if you look at it on a percent of acres treated, we've pretty much been status quo on spider mites starting at about 2005. In fact, this last year we were actually on track to probably be one of our worst mite years, and we had some storms blow in and we had some significant rainfall events and got everything kind of back in check. But this is definitely a very serious problem for us. And I showed some of these slides yesterday, so if you were at that consultants meeting, I apologize. But anyway, if you look back at 04, really before our mite problem really took hold in Mississippi, this is the Mid-South region. This is the dollar per diluted acre across all of our acres that we were spending on spider mites. So for an example, in Mississippi, we're only spending about $1.50, which is right at the national average. If you look all the way to 2007, this is what these Mid-South states were spending on spider mites, actually well above the national average. So it certainly has become a serious pest. Now I'm going to flip through a couple slides just real quickly for you, just to kind of set the tone of where spider mites are for us. So I went back to the cotton losses starting in 2004, and this is bales loss per acre, per diluted acre. And this is basically our top four pests in the order that they rank according to our cotton losses. Spider mites are not on there. If you look at 2005, spider mites pops up at number three, still number three in 06. Still number three in 07, still number three in 08. So spider mites, at least for the short being, they look like they've pretty much set in, I would guess you would say, at least in Mississippi, but I know it's true for our other Mid-South areas. But they are definitely one of our top pests that we're beginning to think about every year. Now, Larry talked a little bit about early season, late season. We kind of see the same. There's some similarities, but there's certainly some differences. He mentioned the western flower thrips. I don't know if y'all are aware of it, but in most of the Mid-South states, a number of years ago, in 98, 99, there was a multi-state effort to define what thrip species we had in the states. For the most part, western flower thrips really, on an annual basis, make up a very low percentage of the thrips that infest cotton. We're 90-plus percent tobacco thrips. Now, we'll have some western outbreaks occasionally, but we do not have the westerns that they have in California regions. So we see extreme damage when they move into these fields early. And this is one of the key differences now. Don't get me wrong. We've had mites in Mississippi since we've been keeping record. The difference is they've been becoming more of a season-long pest, starting earlier and staying later. Now, this is pretty common for us on small cotton, and they will escalate very, very rapidly. One of the things is we're spraying a lot of thrips, which does not help the matter at all. If you have a thrips problem and you happen to have some spider mites in that field at a low level and you blast some acephate out there, you will make your problem worse in a hurry. And you can go from this pretty field of cotton you see in this picture to these dead spots within a 7 to 10 day period. It's unbelievable how fast they move across the field for us in some of these early season areas. Now, late season, this is, like I said, we've had this problem forever, but it seems to be getting worse for us. One of the reasons that we think, and this is all anecdotal, but I think a lot of my colleagues and I are in agreement with, we're beginning to see a lot more spider mites in corn. We're growing a lot more corn in our Delta region than we have been, and you cannot walk into a cornfield that does not have a lot of two-spotted spider mites all over it. And I think the literature suggests that that's not certainly not uncommon. In fact, they treat corn for spider mites in other regions, but they are blasting out of this corn later when it begins to dry down, and at that point, you cannot walk in a field in our Delta region and not find spider mites, at least to some degree. So they're certainly a problem for us all through the year. Now, these are just a few factors that we actually put together in 05 trying to figure out what was going on, and each one of these will be talked about and addressed to some degree today. We talked about we moved to the no-till a lot. We've had a lot of hot and dry conditions, which are certainly favorable. You know, the flaring that I've already mentioned. Still a lot of questions around these seed treatments. There'll be a talk completely devoted to that. And, of course, resistance that Larry has already mentioned. A couple of the areas that we've been focusing on in Mississippi. One is my student here, John Smith, will be giving the talk. These are some of the areas he's working on for his PhD. And one is he's been doing these winter annual surveys for spider mites. And if you're from anywhere in the Mid-South region, this is a real common look for us. Fields completely covered with henbit. We found out, in fact, henbit is a great host for spider mites. And when it dies out, we'll start getting cutleaf even in primrose, which is another great host. So there are hosts out there for these. And we actually have data, I don't think he will show, that we can find them year-round in our fields. All right, we've also been trying to get a better handle, and I don't think we've done a real good job with this, at least in the Mid-South, because we haven't dealt with this for a long period of time, but trying to get a better handle on the yield, just what yield impact there is from spider mites, because this is what you see, or this is what our growers see, and this is what the neighbors see, this is what everybody sees driving down the road, but the question is, okay, well, just how yield limiting are. So we're beginning a series of studies now to really get a better handle on what we can expect from yield loss, which will help us make better management decisions later. Here's a study, and this is just kind of a small study where we went into a field. We found these hot spots about cutout time. We started to see actually not the spider mites, but we started seeing the symptomology associated with it. And we passed these fields every day, and we decided, well, let's just go out there in the hot spots and flag, let's replicate it 6 times, flag some areas where the hot spot is, and then in a paired adjacent with no symptomology, as close to it as we could. This is the results we got. In an unirrigated or a dry land situation, in those hot spots where these mites were present, we actually had a 51% yield loss. So basically it went from 1,000 to about 500 pounds. Obviously this is late season mites, so the biggest chance of yield loss was in the top of the canopy. So we do know that they are definitely can be limiting, but those hot spots don't go across the whole field. So we took aerial imagery of the field and found out that like 15.8% of the field was exactly like where we were pulling this. It turned out to be about 80 pounds of lint per acre across the whole field. So it's definitely significant. We repeated it in a irrigated field. And I think we've been noticing this for a while, and some of you in the West could probably allude to it, but when our cotton plants are healthy, they're still going to have mites, but they just seem to keep the symptomology down. I guess a healthy plant is a good plant. So we still saw a 9% decrease in an irrigated field that had just as many mites in it. So it was able to better stand off, just I guess because of no stress there. So look, one thing we started doing, this was just kind of a teaser for us to get an idea of the yield loss thing. Well, the one component of this that we were not able to separate, we know that mites are very opportunistic. They like plants that are stressed or hurt for whatever reason. And I think that's well documented. So the one thing we couldn't tease out from this study was, okay, well, maybe those hot spots were weak anyway, and they would have yielded less. So Smitty there started doing this test, and this is just some preliminary data, although it wasn't significant. In a very controlled environment, He went in and did a lot of infestation, starting at first bloom and then infesting again 200 heat units after that and 200 heat units after that. And this was like six rows by 50 feet infesting every single plant. And we had tons of rain, but I think the trends are strong that we will continue this. But one of the things I just want to wrap up with is we think we're drastically underestimating the amount of damage that our growers are getting from spider mites. All right, just finally, just to summarize a few of the areas, we're still continuing some of the winter weed work, looking into some burn down options to see if that can reduce the number of mites we burned down earlier and so forth, because we do think some are actually overwintering in the field, although a lot are coming out of the ditch banks. And again, we're looking into seed treatments and yield loss. But with that, I'll be done. Do you want to?